We will continue in the book of Acts and Acts chapter 5. And this is something that a lot of preachers, they take this portion of scripture out of context. And this is a part where you don't hear many sermons on Ananias and Sapphira. And as I said, many people, many preachers, many teachers take this out of context. So what we are going to see, what we are going to do today, is we are going to put this in context. Now let me tell you something. In the very beginning of the church, there were no scripture divisions. Okay, like verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like that. None. The scripture divisions, or they added the numbers to the scriptures only later on. So, when you read the Word of God, you had to read it as a letter. Okay? When you read a letter, you don't start reading the letter in the middle or somewhere you like, right? You start reading the letter from the beginning to the very end. So, you get the context. Alright? So, that's why it's so important when you read the Word of God, you read as a letter that is written to your heart. So, Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 11, the most critical part of this scripture, or to key to understand this, or to key to expose this, is verse 1, that little word called but. B-U-T. Whenever you see a chapter, the beginning of a chapter, and in the beginning, if it says but, that but, really speaking, is a continuation of the previous chapter. We had to understand that in interpretation. Now, chapter 4, verse 34, now was there anyone among whom who lacked, who all who were possessors of the lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds, the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each anyone had need. And Joseph, or Jose, is also named Barnabas by the apostles, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, that is critical for us to continue Acts chapter 5. If you don't see that, you are seeing a different story. One thing we need to understand, there was a need in the church. What was the need? 3,000 people got saved, 5,000 people got saved, and also the Lord added to the church, there were a lot of people got saved. And these people who got saved, there was a need. Okay? Maybe food, maybe clothing, maybe, you know, where they are going to live and things like that. So, the people, they sold some of their possessions and brought the money to the apostles' feet. And that money was used to take care of the need. One thing is the Holy Spirit shows there was one man who was probably rich, Barnabas, who had land. And he sold his land and brought the money to take for the needs of the church. Barnabas, okay, is an example of how we can love one another. Barnabas is an example of compassion for the poor. How we can love and take care of the others. He was an example of a person who gave out of his heart. And he was a cheerful giver. He was not selfish. Even though he had land, he could have not given anything. Or he could have given something smaller. Or, you know, but he was a generous person who gave. And Barnabas was an example of not being greedy. Barnabas was an example. He had a sincere motive, a clear conscience. And Barnabas was called a man of encouragement. And here we see Barnabas, who loved the Lord, also loved the church, and he was an instrument in giving and taking care of that needs along with other people. But Barnabas sold a huge piece of land, probably, and that was very helpful to the church. Then it says, chapter 5, verse 1, but, see that? Here we see, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Here we see, but there was a man by the name of Ananias and Sapphira, and they were called certain men, meaning just ordinary church-going people. Alright? They also sold a piece of land. And what did they do? Now, this is the contrast. So, whenever you see Barnabas and you see Ananias and Sapphira, there is a but. The but shows the contrast. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So, the but, whenever you see the but, it shows the difference, the contrast, opposite to one another. Barnabas loved the Lord. Barnabas loved the people. Barnabas was a cheerful giver. Barnabas was not selfish. Barnabas was not greedy. He had love and compassion. He has a right motive. He was clear in his conscience. But Ananias and Sapphira, just the opposite of Barnabas. All right? They also sold land. And what did they do? They kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also, being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So here we see Ananias and Sapphira. They also sold a piece of land, but they kept some money for themselves, all right? And they gave part of that money to the church. So we need to understand that. Okay, so for instance, if they sold the land for, let's say, $10,000, they kept $5,000 for them, and they gave $5,000 to the church. Now, is there anything wrong with that? Absolutely not. Now, we are going to see what went wrong. All right? What went wrong, instead of telling Peter, They sold the land for 10,000. They said, we sold the land for 5,000. That's the problem. See verse 8. Then Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, so much. See, that is the issue. They did not tell the apostles or to the church the truth, how much they sold the land. They tricked them. Is it okay to keep a part of the for themselves, part of the income for themselves, and give a part to the church? No problem. See verse 3. But Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? See verse 4. While it remained, was it not your own? Hey, the money is yours. You know, the money belonged to you. Then Peter says, before it sold, it belonged to you. Then Peter says, after it was sold, was it not your own? Yes. Even after it was sold, the money belongs to you. Then Peter says, was it not your own? Control. That means it's your own control. You can give $5,000 to the church. You can keep $5,000. But tell the truth that you sold the land for $10,000. Don't tell that you sold the land for $5,000. Tell the truth. You can keep any amount you want to. You can keep $9,000 if you want to. It's up to you. But don't tell a lie. Now, Peter goes on to say, and after it was all not in your control, why have you conceived these things in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. So here we see the lie. They lied to Peter and to the church and to God of the full price they sold. They lied of the price they sold the land. You know, remember the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, it was so beautiful. There was a fellowship between God and man. There was peace and harmony and love and peace. And everything was so beautiful. And that's how the church was during this time, right? The church was, there was doctrines of the apostles. They were breaking bread. And there was a need in the church. So people sold some of their possessions. They brought some of the proceedings, the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. So everybody, they used that money for the needs of the church. So there was love, peace, and harmony. Beautiful. Everything was going great. Then came the serpent, the enemy. Just like in the Garden of Eden, when everything was so peaceful, came the serpent. That's exactly what happened here. The serpent entered Ananias and Sapphira's heart. This is where we need to understand that when everything's going great, we need to be careful. The enemy is mad. Enemy can come as a serpent. You know, whenever you see a serpent coming to your house, you don't see a big noise. You don't hear anything, right? And you don't even see a serpent. It comes so slippery, slowly, without any noise. That's how Satan comes. Without saying, hey, I'm coming now today, you know. Be careful. Here I come. No. He comes gradually, slippery, without being even noticed. And that's the danger. We don't feel it. We don't know when it comes, because you need just a little crack in your heart for the serpent to enter. You know, that's why if you open the door a little bit for sin, Satan will creep in. So here, Ananias and Sapphira, they had a wrong motive. Alright? That's little sin was enough for Satan to enter into their hearts. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So here, Satan filled the heart of Ananias and Sapphira with a lie. Just like how Satan, Jesus said he is the father of lies. That means he is the originator of lies. He is the one who deceived our first parents, Adam and Eve. Actually, Luke is not only a historian who wrote the book of Acts, he is also a theologian. See what Luke said. Luke chapter 5:3 says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Here he said, you have lied to the Holy Spirit. Alright? See verse 4. Why have you conceived these things in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Here we see, Luke shows that lying to the Holy Spirit is lying to God. Here is a good scripture to show that Holy Spirit is God. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses, and there are a lot of other cults who does not believe that Holy Spirit is God. He very clearly shows that Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to the Holy Spirit. And also it says, verse 4, you did not lie to men, but to God. So the Holy Spirit is God. And there are a lot of people, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe that the Holy Spirit is not God. They believe the Holy Spirit is a force. It's like electricity. It's like wind. It's a force. But let me tell you, You cannot lie to a force. You know, what happens if you lie to a force? I mean, it's nothing. You can lie only to a person. That's what I mean. You don't lie to a force. You lie to a person. So Holy Spirit is a person. So what happened when Peter said that you have not lied to men but to God, verse 5 and 6, then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Here we see when Peter said these things, Ananias became speechless because the witness was the Holy Spirit. Ananias died on the spot, and this was a severe punishment because you don't take lightly the Holy Spirit. You don't take lightly God, because we need to honor the Holy Spirit. Our conscience seems to be clear. Here the early church, God is showing the early church there has to be holiness in the early church. Out of this church, there will be a lot of churches will come. And God is showing He is not going to tolerate, which we think, lying to God, or sins that we think it's okay. So important. Now what happened, verse 7 to 8, now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened, and Peter, so she came about 3 hours later, she did not know what happened to her husband, okay? So, and Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. So Peter is telling, tell me, did you sell the land for so much? For this amount, the Bible doesn't tell us how much the land was sold. So, was this the amount you received from the land? She said, yes, so much. That was a bold lie. Now, if she said no, she would have lived, right? If she told Peter, we sold the land for 10,000, but we kept 5,000, and here is the balance, 5,000 to the church, she would have lived. That's not a lie. That's the truth. But she did not tell the truth. Then she said, yes, so much. So that was a lie. Then Peter said to her, verse 9, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Husband and wife got together, and they made an agreement of lying together. They got together, maybe the husband or the wife said, honey, let's tell the church we sold the land only for 5,000 and we keep the balance. Just like Barnabas, they will honor us too. We will show the church that we are really Christians, true Christians. This is the bond of sin and agreeing with one another. They agreed with these sins. Now, husbands and wives and children, I'm talking to the family here. There are a lot of times Satan will come into your hearts and will do the same thing. And it will put a lie, so Satan will fill your heart and you will lie something to somebody else. Because you have come to an agreement in lying to somebody else. You need to stand for the truth. There's always temptation to lie. The same devil that tempted Adam and Eve, the same devil that tempted to lie to Ananias and Sapphira, he's here today trying to tempt you. That's why James chapter 4, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So we need to be very careful. We should not be double-minded, saying one thing to the church, one thing to God, and another thing in our behavior. We need to submit to God. We need to be sincere. We need to have a sincere motive, and then the devil will flee from you. Okay? So that's very important for us to understand. Then also Peter said, do not test God. Ananias and Sapphira, they tested God. How is it that you agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Remember the children of Israel. They tested God in the wilderness. When they murmured, when they grumbled in the wilderness, God did not like that. They were slain. Remember how the devil came to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 7, Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. The word tempt can be also translated as test. Do not ever test the Spirit of God. And what happened to Sapphira? Verse 10, then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came and found her dead and carrying her and buried with her husband. Here she died on the spot. Because Ananias and Sapphira, they lied not only to Peter, really, they lied to God. See verse 11. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. The practical lesson, what we see here in this true happening, is that we need to live in the very presence of God. It means not only in the church, God's presence is there. God is present even in the house, God's presence is there. When Ananias and Sapphira, they lied, they came to an agreement in their home. Or wherever they were out, they came to an agreement. Whatever they came to an agreement, God saw it and God heard it. So we need to understand that we, not only in the church we become saints, not only in the church we become holy, even when we are at home, we need to understand that we are living in the very presence of God. At work, we are living in the very presence of God. In school, we are living in the very presence of God. So we need to understand that. There was a great fear that came upon the church. That means we need to have a godly fear. What is godly fear? You know, the Bible talks about godly fear. Godly fear is submitting to God's will. That means godly fear is trusting and submitting to God's word. That means you love God so much that you will obey God's word. That is godly fear. Let me give you an example. Remember Abraham? God told Abraham to take your only son, Isaac, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. And Abraham was obedient to God's call, and he was just ready to take a knife and plunge into Isaac and sacrifice him, right? Just about to plunge his knife, God called him and said, Abraham, Abraham, don't do it. And what did God tell Abraham? Genesis 22:12, let me read it. God told Abraham, do not lay your hands on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God. You see that? Now I know that you fear God. That is, godly fear is obeying God. On the other hand, God told the children of Israel, when you go to Jericho, don't take anything, any treasures or anything in Jericho belongs to God. Don't take anything. But there was a man by the name of Achan, remember? He saw a beautiful robe. He saw some wealth. And he disobeyed God. And he hid those things. and the children of Israel, they lost the war in Ai, and God exposed the lie. Okay, whatever happens in secret, Ananias and Sapphira, they did that in secret, but God exposed in public. So that Achan was not obedient to God's word, and that is not having any fear of God. You don't have a fear of God. There's no godly fear. Godly fear is to say no to evil. That is godly fear. And obeying God, that is godly fear. Ananias and Sapphira, they tried to impress the church. It means they want to show off that they were like Barnabas. Barnabas was a true man of God. He had a true motive. But Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to impress the church and to show off they were like Barnabas. So probably there was a jealousy towards Barnabas, because Barnabas did a great thing. And so they also, probably they were rich like Barnabas, so they also wanted to compete and to show, hey, we are like Barnabas too. But here there was a humble pride. I would call a humble pride. So if they were going to do, they were trying to show the church, they were like humble, like Barnabas. But that was a humble pride. There was a lot of pride in that humility. They were deceiving the church. This was a secret, darling sin. And God exposed everything. That's why we need to be very careful. Whenever we talk behind somebody's back, who hears it? God hears it, right? When you slander somebody's reputation, who hears it? God hears it, right? When you backbite on somebody's back, who hears it? God hears it. So that's why we need to be very careful how we talk. Because the book of James says this tongue is like a little muscle, very small, but it can be very powerful when it comes to sin. We need to tame the tongue. And we need to be very careful how we talk, that we should not lie to the Holy Spirit. Because everything what you talk, God hears it. How if today God will do the same thing in the church? There are a lot of people dead, I'll tell you. There was holiness in the church. That's why we need to be very careful, okay, of how Barnabas was a true man of God, but Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to show a humble pride. They wanted to show off to the people that they were holy and they were strong in the Lord. So whenever you say, hey, I have a great love for the Lord. Look, I am, how strong I am. Look at me. That's pride. So there's a pride of grace. Pride of grace is to show how great you are in the sight of other people. If you are boasting of God's grace and showing that you have a lot of grace, I'll tell you, that's pride. So the lesson that we can learn today is that we need to grow in holiness. We need to grow in holiness, not in worldliness. We need to grow in the knowledge of God in upwards, then we need to grow in humility downwards. That is growing in holiness. Let's pray.